Incorporated from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this fourth day of November 2025. I'm absolutely thrilled to have two returning guests today to address the life and legacy of a very important brother in Christ, now in eternity with Christ, by the name of Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen. Have you yourself been blessed by the teaching and the writing of Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen, who went home to be with the Lord in 1995? Have you ever even heard of Greg L. Bahnsen? And if you have not, that is certainly a shame. And we hope to educate you on this great man of history, one of the greatest minds in the Christian church of the 20th century. And we are going to be now introducing to you the two men who are going to set out to accomplish that task of educating you on this great brother of Christ now in heaven. First of all, I want to welcome back to the program one of my dearest friends who will certainly be no stranger to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience. He has been a guest on my program frequently, going as far back as the launching of this program in 2005 out of WNYG Radio in Babylon, Long Island, and has been continuing to be my guest on occasion now that we have relocated and broadcasting out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania since 2015. First, let me introduce you to Bill Shishko, the founding pastor of The Haven, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Commack, Long Island, and he's an advisor to the Bahnsen Institute. Welcome back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Bill Shishko.
Hey, Chris, good to be back with you.
If you could briefly describe The Haven in Commack, Long Island.
No, glad to. Commack is in the northwestern pocket of Suffolk County, which is the easternmost of the two counties on Long Island. We began as a mission church back in 2019, and then about 3 years ago, we were able to purchase a facility at 16 Oaklawn Drive in Commack, and we're in the early stages still as a mission church. But we are really doing all that we can to see the kingdom of God furthered on in Suffolk County and have a wonderful time doing it. We'd love to have you join us.
Yes, and I have loved visiting The Haven myself and was so blessed on how well you pull off having a liturgical worship service that is in no way, shape, or form robotic or wooden. It was just such a joy to see a liturgical service done with such passion and warmth and joy.
Well, all churches have liturgies, my dear brother Chris.
Yes, I know
these
that.
Churches are biblical ones, and are they alive or are they cadavers?
And if anybody would like to find out more about The Haven Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Commack, Long Island, go to thehavenli.com. Thehavenli.com. And now we also have another returning guest today. His name is Christian McShaffery. And he has not, believe it or not, he's not been on the program since 2020. And he was previously on the program when we had a five-day tribute to Greg L. Bahnsen. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program after such a long absence Christian McShaffery, who is pastor of Five Solas Church, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. And he is also the vice chairman of the Bahnsen Institute and the clerk of the Presbytery of Minnesota and Wisconsin for the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to the program as well, Christian McShaffery.
The honor is all mine. Thanks for inviting me back, Chris.
And why don't you briefly describe Five Solas Church of Reedsburg, Wisconsin?
Sure. Five Solas Church began as a church plant in 1999, and I came here as the founding pastor and church planter in 2003 after graduating from Mid-America Reformed Seminary. Mm-hmm. The church then organized in 2007 with our first elders, and we bought our first building in 2019. And we just paid it off earlier this year, so we're glad and blessed to be debt-free to the glory of God. The building, interestingly enough, was a Jehovah's Witness Hall that was newly built in 2011, and it's very classy, clean, well-built on a little bit of property just on the outskirts of town. We, too, have a liturgy, and I think it's also not robotic, so Bill and I have that in common.
Well, praise God, and we would like you to, those of you listening in the audience, we'd like you to know that the website for Five Solas Church, if you'd like to investigate that church, especially if you live in or near Reedsburg, Wisconsin, or have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you're just passing through on vacation or for some other reason, look them up at Five Solas Church, and it is the word five, F-I-V-E, Solas Church. I'm sorry. Let me back up. It's fivesolas.church, fivesolas.church. And we hope that you have the opportunity to visit there and even join there if you live in the area. First of all, let's start also with a brief description, Pastor Bill Shishko, of the Bahnsen Institute, and tell us a little bit about the public meeting that is happening today.
Well, I would prefer to defer to Christian on that because of his position. May I just give a little personal anecdote about Greg Bahnsen to kind of get us into things?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Dr. Bahnsen and I were, he was a West Coast guy, I was an East Coast guy, but I think it was during my seminary years, 1976 to 79, not long after his master's thesis, Theonomy, was redone and republished. We began communicating by phone or by we didn't have emails back then, by letter. And then most significantly, Greg was with us. Maybe a year or so before he went home to be with the Lord in the 1994, it might have been even early 1995. But Greg was invited to do a class on philosophy in Brooklyn, New York, of all places. And I'd asked Greg if I could have our oldest son, Nathaniel, join me to trek into Brooklyn for five days. 8 hours a day, these lectures. Nathaniel was wrestling with issues. He was in his junior year of high school. We were I was homeschooling him, and he was wrestling with things, as teenagers do. And I will be eternally grateful for Dr. Bonson's ministry. Even though Greg had health issues from his youth, really, he had various issues with his physical heart and needed this break. At each break, Nathaniel was the youngest one in the class. He knew that Nathaniel had had a reformed upbringing, and he was willing to have him. But Greg would take, Greg was, and I'm not exaggerating, Greg Bonson was without doubt the most masterful teacher under whom I've ever sat. And he would take time with Nathaniel at the breaks to be sure that Nathaniel got things, and never in a patronizing way. Greg was outstanding with all of his students. And it was on the Thursday of that week when we were driving back home, and Nathaniel said, "Dad, I get it now, that the Christian faith, it makes sense. All the pieces come together." And whether that was the time the Lord had worked regeneration in Nathaniel or not, I don't know. But from that time on, he didn't wrestle with those issues, and he had a real clear commitment to the Lord. So I, it was brought to my attention that there was interest in getting Dr. Bonson's material available. And we're talking about 1,800 cassette tapes over that of Greg's teachings on philosophy, apologetics, ethics, a lot on the Christian life. I was thrilled to know of that, and have been involved as an advisor for the Bonson Institute since that time, about 5 years ago. But there's where I'm going to turn things over to my brother Christian, because he is he's the expert on the Bonson Institute and its origin and its purposes.
By the way, I just wanted to quickly say, I don't know if you're aware of this, Bill, or if you forgot it, if I told you, that I had an interview with Greg Bonson face-to-face long before I was hosting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Believe it or not, our late friend Steve Schlissel, he had Dr. Bonson speak at his church sometime in the early 1990s. And I remember it was on, the subject was on the ascension of Christ. I believe it may have been the very first sermon I ever heard on the ascension of Christ, even though I knew about the ascension and believed it, having been a member of a Reformed Baptist church. But that the topic of the ascension seems to be something that is not preached upon enough. And Steve Schlissel said to me, "I know for a fact that one day you're going to be a talk radio host. So I want you to go into the study with this portable recorder, and I want you to interview Greg Bonson and somehow use it one day when you do become a talk radio host." I was working for WMCA Radio at the time, but I was not a talk show host. And so I did. I interviewed Greg Bonson. And the tragedy of this all is that I lost the cassette tape. But I do remember that vividly, and I am forever in the debt of the late Steve Schlissel for doing that. As much as I had serious disagreements with Steve theologically later on in his life, he was a dear friend to me, and I thank him for all he had done for me, even writing a very lengthy letter of recommendation for me at one point. But sorry to interrupt you there, Christian. If you'd like to give us some details on the Bonson Institute, that'd be great.
Sure, we can start with a little bit of history. Besides equipping thousands of Christians to defend their faith during his lifetime, Dr. Bonson also left the world, as Bill suggested, over 1,800 recordings. He called me an expert, so I'll give you the exact number we have. 1,844.
Wow.
We have no idea how many have been lost, but that's what we had available to us. We had lectures, sermons, debates. And after his death, these recordings were digitized and made available online, but they remained behind a paywall. So 2019, 2020, there were a few of us who were sharing a vision to release these recordings into the public domain. So we contacted the Covenant Media Foundation, and we asked if we could obtain shared rights for the audio recordings. We agreed on a contract, and after a very short season of fundraising, we had rights to those recordings in September 2020, and our first step as an institute was to upload everything onto sermonaudio.com. So it was now free for all.
Praise God.
The next priority for our institute was to remaster the audio files because, as Bill said, they were from cassette recorders. And sometimes the recorder wasn't properly positioned in the room. Sometimes there was chatter and static. So we decided to have them professionally remastered. And we're happy to announce that 149 out of 152 series are now complete. And our target date for all the recordings is June 2026. So that was the Bonson Institute, mainly just releasing into the public domain all of these treasures of knowledge and wisdom. But having done that, our initial vision grew, and we're now a full-fledged institute and a charitable trust. We've conducted one conference and I'm planning another for 2026. We published a couple books, and we are delighting in our calling to equip Christians to be ready always to defend their faith.
Praise God. And I'd like to let you folks know that if you'd like to, after this live show is over, if you want to look up the five-day tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson, 5 days in 2020, that this took place from the 26th of October through the 30th of October, featuring various guests who were very knowledgeable on the life and legacy and teaching of Dr. Greg L. Bonson. All you need to do is go to ironsharpensironradio.com and in the search engine, type in Greg L. Bonson, which is B-A-H-N-S-E-N, and all of those links to those interviews will come up. So tell us about this event today, Christian.
Tonight, we're having our second public meeting. The first was way back when we started in 2020, and it's scheduled for 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. The board members will offer reports on our current projects and share goals and events planned for the upcoming year. We'll also be opening the floor for questions or suggestions. So if any of your listeners are interested in learning more about the Institute or would like to partner with us and volunteer for us, go to our website tonight, bonsoninstitute.com, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and just click the blue Zoom button and we'll let you in. If you're on a desktop, that button will be right below Dr. Bonson's portrait on the right-hand side. And if you're on a cell phone, the Zoom button will be just below the podcast icons. So please come and learn more about the Institute. Think about how you might want to get involved. And right now we have a very diligent volunteer staff, but we'd like to see our team grow. So if you have time and talents and interest, we'd love to meet you tonight.
And once again, the website for the Bonson Institute is bonsoninstitute.com, B-A-H-N-S-E-N, institute.com. Pastor Bill, perhaps you could pick up now by letting our listeners know some reasons why everyone listening, no matter what theological background they are coming from in the Christian faith, why they should discover and get to know and make use of the brilliance of Greg L. Bonson.
Well, that's a great question, Chris. Dr. Bonson, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, and incidentally, just to give a little biography here, Dr. Bonson was born in 1948, went home to be with the Lord on December 11th, 1995. I wept that night. Greg was, among other things, probably the most articulate and competent debater in the latter part of the 20th century. And if you go to the library portion of the Bonson Institute website, you will find the three debates that we know of that we had recorded, on which he deals with a couple of them were with atheists, and one he deals with R.C. Sproul on the difference between supposed classical apologetics and presuppositional apologetics. But to answer your question, number one, faithfulness to the Word of God. Dr. Bahnsen was clearly committed to what we know of as the Reformed faith, represented in the Westminster Standards, but he was always gracious in dealing with those with whom he disagreed. I frankly wouldn't want to have been on the other side of Dr. Bahnsen in debates, but he was always gracious. But he was such a very learned man, to say the least. I think it's interesting that when he went to Westminster Seminary between 1970 and 73, he got two degrees at the same time in 3 years, his Master of Divinity degree and his Master of Theology degree. So he was brilliant. But he was also able to take some of the most complex subjects, and without dumbing them down, he would make them clear to people. I frankly don't know of anybody that's had that kind of a skill. The third thing is he was willing to tackle controversial topics and break them down and deal with them, and whether you agreed with him or not, his arguments were very powerful. And in two areas that we can get to a little bit later, one is an apologetic methodology. Apologetics is defense of the faith, and Dr. Bahnsen was, to say the least, very much in the school of, we'll say, Lucius Rushdoony or Cornelius Van Til in presenting and defending presuppositional apologetics, and we can discuss that a little bit later. I love the phrase revealed apologetics. It's basically the way the scriptures themselves tell you to present the faith to others. The other, and very in my opinion, unfortunately, very controversial, his volume in 1977, Theonomy, that was, as I mentioned, a reworking of his master's thesis at Westminster Seminary, has really put a cloud in many ways over Dr. Bahnsen himself. But Dr. Bahnsen believed that the Mosaic law, the civil law, was to be applied, not specifically, but I would say principially, the principles of the Mosaic law should be a standard in application to civil government. His thesis in 1977 was just that. He, over almost 20 years, of course, he refined that and developed that. He listened to criticisms. The Bahnsen Institute has published the volume we now call Christ is King, presentations that he gave at Grove City College in the early 1990s, and at Geneva College. That is, in my opinion, a far better representation of where Dr. Bahnsen stood in the application of the principles of the Mosaic law to the government. In my opinion, it's pretty close to what the Westminster Standards speak of as the general equity of the law. But that's a long answer, Chris, but I urge people to look at the Bahnsen Institute website and library. You will be stunned at the things that are available for homeschooling parents, for those of you learning at home, for those wrestling with issues about defense of the faith or philosophy or ethics. You're not going to get a better guide than Dr. Bahnsen.
Well, we're going to our first commercial break right now, and if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a member of a church with whom you have much disagreement in areas of theology and eschatology and other matters, and you'd rather not identify yourself, that would be a legitimate reason to remain anonymous. And there may be many other reasons that would be legitimate. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. So don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry.
Hope TR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope TR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide us with financial support every single month automatically, but on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from royaldiadem.com. So with Christmas coming up right around the corner, please, if you have any intention to buy jewelry for those you love, or perhaps you're buying jewelry for yourself as well, go to royaldiadem.com, and whether it's jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. Go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my two guests, Pastor Bill Shishko and Pastor Christian McShaffery, and they are both involved in the Bonson Institute. And perhaps I'll go to Pastor McShaffery. When it comes to apologetics, which is so inseparable from the life and legacy of Greg Bonson, perhaps you could explain that, even that word, in more detail. There are people out there that still might wrongly think that you're making an apology for something that you believe, as if you're sorry for it or something. That's not at all what that means. And maybe get into more details about Dr. Bonson's own approach to apologetics.
Yes, I'd be happy to address that. In our previous segment, the question was raised, why should people have interest in Greg Bonson? And the first answer that came to my mind is because God calls us, each one of us, in his holy word, to be engaged in the ministry of apologetics. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer. The Greek word translated as answer there is apologia, and it means a reasoned defense or a speech in defense of something. It's something you would hear in a public debate or perhaps a court of law. And when it comes to our Christian hope, we need to be ready to defend it if anyone asks us why we trust in Christ. Now, our attitude is addressed in the verse. We need to do that with meekness and fear. But equally important, and this is where Bonson made much contribution to the discipline of apologetics, equally important to our attitude is our approach. Because it is easy when we're debating our opponents to get drawn into fruitless debates or granting arguments or presuppositions that they're expecting us to grant that we shouldn't. And when we do that, we end up compromising our own convictions. Yeah. And arguing from science and naturalism and rationality rather than beginning and ending with the revealed will of God in Scripture.
Amen.
God's word is truth, and we are going to defend our hope through his truth. So I was looking back in my class notes way back in seminary, and I have Bonson's definition of apologetics. Let me read it. Apologetics aims to defend the Christian faith against the variety of challenges leveled by unbelievers, thereby vindicating the Christian philosophy of life against all autonomous philosophies of life. So that's what apologetics is, and there are different models of it, but we are committed to the presuppositional model, which Bonson taught and helped people understand. Presuppositions can be complicated, because it's really a network of core convictions that a person holds. They have revisionary immunity. They're off limits. And people have several presuppositions. And that determines their worldview. But our presupposition, again, is that God is God. He has revealed truth in his holy word. And we begin and end with that divine authority when defending our faith.
Amen. Now, Pastor Bill Shishko, in addition to the scores of audio lectures and teaching and sermons by the late Greg L. Bonson, I know that there are books that he wrote that are still available in print in various publishing houses and book distributing organizations that you would recommend that people get a hold of. If you could mention some of these.
Let me add one other thing to what Christian said. I love in the merchandise available at the Bonson Institute, one of them emphasizes no neutrality. And I love that because that's precisely what the scriptures say when they talk about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. So I really working that out is always very interesting, but there is no neutrality between belief and unbelief. Dr. Van Til would say, and I think Greg would have reiterated it, that the mind of an unbeliever is like a buzzsaw and will take whatever data you give it and try to rip into it. But anyway, that's it. I appreciate you mentioning that. Of course, the two from the Bonson Institute themselves that we've been able to publish, the first of what I hope will be many. The first is a little book just called Apologetics, which does mean you're not apologizing for anything. It's a defense of the faith. But I urge all of your listeners to go. You can get this at Amazon.com, or you can go to the Bonson Institute and get the little volume Apologetics by Dr. Bonson. That's really will get you into the waters of this. Now, for those who really want to study the topic, Dr. Bonson's lengthy volume called Van Til's Apologetic is absolutely a classic. Dr. Van Til wasn't really teaching anything new when he emphasized what we call presuppositional apologetics. He was building on essentially the methodology of Augustine and Calvin and others. But Dr. Van Til's material, which ranged everywhere from epistemology, the study of how we know things, right through methodology and presenting the faith, his material can be pretty heavy duty. And Dr. Bonson, again, with masterful skill, was able to assimilate all of this material and put it in a lengthy volume, but a very worthwhile read called Van Til's Apologetic. And again, for those who want to study apologetics, I highly, highly recommend that. On a more popular level, and these are volumes that are available to you. You can get them at Amazon.com. Dr. Bonson's volume, Always Ready, lays out very specifically how you present the faith to others. And my favorite, I'm assuming that it's still available, it was published posthumously based on, I believe, one of the last lectures or series of lectures that Dr. Bonson did called Pushing the Antithesis. Antithesis is the stark difference between belief and unbelief and how that works it out in every area, especially as unbelievers suppress the truth and unrighteousness. But Pushing the Antithesis gives very specific illustrations of how in dealing with unbelievers, you show the ultimate incoherence of their own view. I think of the old, this is a dictum from a communist, but it applies here. Vladimir Lenin's statement, give the capitalists enough rope and they'll hang themselves. you give unbelief enough rope and it will hang itself. And yeah. Pushing the Antithesis is just, I regard that as just a delightful volume to help with all of that. And then, of course, on the Bonson Institute website, when you go to the library, you'll find many, many things. I think close to the Pushing the Antithesis is, my favorite on that is Getting Down and Dirty, where Dr. Bonson just gets into the specifics of how you deal with unbelief. And we need that.
One of the things that just popped into my head, Pastor Bill, as you know, over the decades of my Christian life, one of my primary activities has been arranging, hosting, and emceeing and moderating Christian debates, theological debates. And one of the things that I'm always clenching my fist and getting frustrated sometimes when a man who is defending the truth in a debate interrupts his opponent too much, who is in the process of hanging himself with his own words.
Oh, it's interesting.
And the goal should be to just give them enough time to just keep talking. And that goes without saying with political debates that we've seen too. Go ahead.
Apropos of that, excuse me for interrupting, Chris. I can't help but think, please listen to the debate that Dr. Bonson had with Dr. Stein and Dr. Tabash. Am I pronouncing that right, Christian?
I think so.
Yeah. Those were two debates that Dr. Bonson had with atheists. I don't want to give this away because it would be stealing the thunder. But in masterful ways, Dr. Bonson did not do what makes you pull your hair out. He let his opponent speak. But sometimes with a sentence, he could simply deflate the argument of an unbeliever. But he didn't do it in a triumphalist way, as Pastor Christian had mentioned. It was always with gentleness, and there was a reverence there with Dr. Bonson. It wasn't a sense of triumphalism when he debated people. But please, listen to those debates, and you'll profit from them.
Now, Pastor Christian, perhaps you could go into more detail about other books by Dr. Bonson, including Christ is King and By the Standard.
Sure. In fact, I'd like to offer your listeners a discount on our latest release. It is titled Christ is King, and the back cover reads this: on any given Sunday, Christians throughout the world acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the songs that they sing, the prayers that they pray, and the creeds they confess. No true Christian would deny that Christ is King. No. The implications of that confession, however, have proven somewhat controversial, especially when it comes to Christ's authority in the civil sphere. Dr. Greg L. Bonson was one of the foremost exponents of the theonomic view of civil government, and this volume is a fine summary of the biblical and philosophical basis for pressing Christ's crown rights into the political sphere. There's been much discussion about the relationship of church and state, the law of God, and civil ethics as of late, and we thought this would be a timely title to release. If your listeners are interested, I put up a 20% discount code on our website, and it'll be live until next Tuesday. So we have 1 week, 20% off the title, Christ is King. And again, you just go to BonsonInstitute.com, click the books tab, and we've only published two. So this is the one that's on the top. But while you're there, you should probably pick up both.
And was there, Chris? There's the benefit of having the assistant director of the Bonson Institute. He can do this. I don't have that authority.
I'm also the website administrator and the printer and distributor of the book. So, yeah, you invited the right guy.
And just once again, to repeat the spelling of Bonson, it's BahnsonInstitute.com. It's interesting that when I did the 5-day tribute to Greg L. Bonson back in 2020 that you were a part of, Pastor Christian, not all the men involved in this tribute who love and frequently glean from Greg Bonson were theonomists. If you can explain why even the non-theonomists should not be queasy or apprehensive about delving into the writings of Dr. Bonson and his audio teachings and so on.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up, because due to the current debates over Christian nationalism and the like, people demonize the other person's position. They use scare quotes. People are afraid sometimes to read contrary opinions. But my encouragement to your listeners would be, Dr. Bonson, if nothing else, was a consistent thinker. And his epistemology was committed to honoring the authority of Scripture without contradicting it or explaining it away. Now, that led him to have particular views of the law of God and the general equity thereof and how it would apply in every nation on earth. And people don't all agree on that. But I would encourage you to at least read the material and see whether or not he is consistent in his biblical worldview and in his interpretation and application of the law of God. It's interesting, the other book that's on our page at the website was actually a transcript from a debate between Dr. Bonson and Dr. Sproul in 1977. Two great and godly men who didn't see things exactly the same, so they had an informal and a cordial debate. So we transcribed that and again, read the material with the question, is he being consistent in his epistemology, his interpretation, and his application? And I think if not, if you don't agree, you'll at least be surprised that the man was a man of mental integrity when it came to these issues.
Yes, one of my greatest heroes, especially in my earlier years of Christianity, was Dr. John Gerstner, and I saw him preach publicly a number of times, once at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology when Dr. James Montgomery Boyce was still alive, and when the conference was still being held in Philadelphia. And I also saw him at the Westchester Orthodox Presbyterian Church, probably in the 90s. But even though he was not a fan of presuppositionalism, and even wrote a book with Dr. Sproul on classic apologetics, evidentialism, and so on, defending that view, isn't this, and perhaps Pastor Bill, we could have you chime in here, isn't this where a healthy biblical ecumenism comes in, where we do not shun those that we disagree with for every jot and tittle they speak on, teach on, and write about, and we should be willing to learn from those, especially that we know have high reputations for being stalwarts and bulwarks for the true gospel. We should be willing to learn from them, even if initially, at least, we have opposition to what they're teaching.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Chris. I think that's when in the 1 Peter 3:15 text, with gentleness and with reverence, there has to be that humility before God. None of us has all of the answers. And as far as I know, Dr. Gerstner and Dr. Sproul and Dr. Bonson, while they disagreed on things, they deeply respected one another.
Yes.
I think that comes up in the debate between Dr. Sproul and Dr. Bonson. I think the other thing to keep in mind, as I think of the volume Christ is King, which I encourage you to get, it's not long, but it does deal with Dr. Bonson's view on civil government. He says in many cases in that volume, he is wrestling, we use that word, but he's still working through the implications of what he's saying when it comes to the, I would say, the principles of the Mosaic law, civil law, and how they apply to government. He wasn't coming with a baseball bat. What he's saying is, if the magistrate is a minister of God for good, what does that mean? How do you define good, and how do you define the minister of God? And I wrestle with these things too. I think we all do. Where I find Dr. Bonson so helpful is he does constantly bring you to the Word of God and makes you think.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, and we do have some listener questions waiting to be asked and answered on the air, if you'd like to join those folks with questions of your own, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardenville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Welcome back. Before I return to my utterly fascinating conversation with Pastor Bill Shishko of the Haven Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Commack, Long Island, and Pastor Christian McShaffrey, pastor of Five Solas Church, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, on the theme of Dr. Greg L. Bonson, his life and legacy, and how we should be utilizing his brilliance in the body of Christ. Before I return to that conversation, I want to remind our listeners, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, as you likely know if you listen regularly, we lost two of our largest financial supporters, one of which was Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, which recently closed its doors. And we lost, therefore, the income coming from that very loyal and faithful and generous source of financial support. If you really love this show, folks, and you do not want it to go away, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com today, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer, snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you would like to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as much as you've been hearing me urging and pleading with you for donations and for advertising dollars, I never want anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience to give their own church, where they are a member, less money than you normally give to your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. However, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show and don't want us to go off the air, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, like The Haven in Commack, Long Island, or Five Solas Church in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Wherever you live on the planet Earth, I have helped people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the globe find churches in their area, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, that are biblically faithful, and I may be able to help you too. So no matter where you live in the world, if you do not know where to find a biblically faithful church, please email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could submit a question on the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson to my guests, Pastor Bill Shishko and Pastor Christian McShaffery. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. And we do have a listener. It's either Cecil or Cecil. I've heard it pronounced both ways. Cecil or Cecil in La Center, Washington, says, "I know that there are stark differences between the two main systems of apologetics that you've been discussing, one being presuppositional and the other being classic or evidential. I was wondering if you could really spell out in more detail what these differences are and why you think one has benefit over the other." And
Bill, who's going to go first on this one?
I'll let you guys decide.
I'll come from the perspective of age, and Christian can come from the experience of more recently wrestling with all of these things, I guess. That's a great question from Cecil and or Cecil. I think, number one, a presuppositional approach really takes seriously the fallenness of man. To me, this would be a topic we should consider in itself. What does that mean? When the Bible says every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually, or the equivalent in the book of Romans is that people suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Presuppositionalism takes seriously that unbelieving thinking at every point seeks to suppress the truth of God, to deny it, to counterfeit it, to in one way or another avoid it and resist it and rebel against it. Classical apologetics, in my opinion anyway, does not take that into consideration. I could actually give some illustrations, but I won't. What you're doing in presuppositional apologetics is you are allowing unbelievers to speak from their presuppositions. You're listening to them. You're hearing what they're saying. But you are showing, and this is where it takes work. You've got to think these things through. Be ready to give every person a reason for the hope that lies within you, yet with meekness and reverence means you think about these things. You hear the internal contradictions of unbelieving thought, its rebellion against God, and then, as we put it, they come on your presuppositions. You're showing them that in the Christian faith, as it's revealed in the whole counsel of God given in Scripture, there are legitimate answers to all of these things. And I could think of many. One of my favorites is this, and incidentally, presuppositional apologetics takes seriously the impossibility of the contrary. I think in a way that sort of summarizes what we're saying. It is impossible to give a cogent explanation of the world that we are in on unbelieving presuppositions. We're honest with that. Classic example. How do you explain the one and the many that is embedded in everything in creation? We have states. We have the concept of government. We have particular states. We have humanity, and it's broken down into male and female. I mean, one and many is embedded in everything. Well, that comes from the fact that everything is made in the Trinity and out of the Trinity. That's just one of many, many examples that we could use. So that's number one, I would say. We really take seriously the fallenness of man. And I think that the second is this, and I really already mentioned it. You are developing with people the impossibility of understanding yourself, understanding the world, understanding anything apart from what God has revealed in His Word. And you do that knowing that there's an absolute distinction. We call it the antithesis between belief and unbelief. So those would be my thoughts. Now, Christian can develop them in far more erudite ways.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll give a less philosophical illustration. I live in a beautiful area of the country. It's actually a tourist attraction, the Wisconsin Dells. And now there's casinos and swimming pools and all that. But people used to come here just for the natural beauty of the Wisconsin River with these rock structures that are stories tall with stratification. It's very beautiful, especially this time of year in autumn. But to the question, evidence is in the eye of the beholder. And that's why an evidential approach to apologetics will never work. Because I'll take somebody out on my fishing boat. We'll look at the same rock structures. He says in his heart there is no God, and therefore he sees proof of millions and millions of years of naturalistic evolution. I look at the same evidence and fear God in my heart, and I see proof of the flood that wiped out humanity in the days of Noah. Mm. Now, we can go deep and dig into those rocks and take them into the lab, but you're never going to overcome the chief and core presuppositions of your opponents. And Bill mentioned not overestimating our opponent's ability to understand. And he mentioned Romans chapter 1. Let me read a few verses from it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. They are without excuse. God has shown man everything they need, but they suppress that truth and unrighteousness, and that leads to something that we call the noetic effects of sin. And in Romans 1, it talks about hearts being darkened and people becoming fools instead of wise, even God giving people up to a reprobate mind. So the presuppositional approach simply acknowledges reality. We acknowledge that our opponent is suppressing God's truth in unrighteousness. We maintain that God is the sovereign determiner of possibility and impossibility. And then we attack the opponent's espoused presuppositions that are out of accord with the revealed will of God. And it's not to say, I think the questioner said there's a vast difference. I've used the cosmological argument, I've used the teleological argument, I've used the moral argument, I've used the ontological argument. I will speak to anybody on the level that they want to discuss it. But our presuppositional model always keeps us aware of the darkness of their minds and their inability and unwillingness to use what God has already revealed to them. They're on God's planet. They stand on God's holy ground and then shake their puny fists against heaven. So that's my answer. We don't overestimate our opponent's ability to think rationally or honestly.
Let me add one other thing, Chris, if I may. It's a great question, and I hope that Cecil or Cecil will really look into this. Just another example, the work of the Discovery Institute I find fascinating because these are top-flight scientists. I'm not sure they're all necessarily believers in Christ, but they're brilliant men and women, and they see that the Darwinian approach to things, a materialistic evolutionary view, just doesn't cut it. And that material is very helpful. Here's the problem: when you don't use a presuppositional approach, the best you can come up with is some kind of a cosmic designer. The cosmic designer is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can know him is through the scriptures. And it's while I can appreciate, and I do appreciate, the work of the Discovery Institute, to stop there is dangerous. You lead people to an idol of their own imagination. You must be forthright and say, no, we know from what God himself has told us in his word, revealed apologetics, not only what he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he is sovereign and so forth, but there would be a practical example of how, as Christians said, yes, we can use all evidence. People say, presuppositions don't use evidence. Are you kidding? You can use everything. Everything is in evidence. The issue is how you use it. And you always bring people on your own presuppositions and let them see as best as you can that you can account for reality in a way that is compelling. Unbelief cannot.
Excellent. And you may have answered, at least in part, the question of my next listener. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know, Pastor Bill, I have very much enjoyed interviewing John G. West, the vice president of the Discovery Institute. I just thought I'd throw that out there. What I was about to say is I'm going to read a question. The question would probably primarily be for Christian because it involves something he said earlier. We have Bryant with a T at the end. Bryant, who is in Mandeville, Louisiana. And Bryant says, regarding the comments made earlier by one of your guests, that it is a mistake to go to science to prove a point about Christian belief. What about such brilliant men as Dr. Jason Lyle, who is a young Earth Christian astrophysicist, who also claims to be a presuppositionalist in his apologetic? What if someone who has the knowledge and experience of Dr. Lyle were to debate a Christian old Earth advocate, for example, and use science to disprove the old Earth argument? And Christian, if you could comment, since you are the one that brought up science earlier.
Sure. If I said Christians or presuppositional apologetic has no place for science, then I misspoke. I would never say that. I appreciate very much the work of Dr. Lyle. It's intriguing. It's fascinating. However, I don't believe that the task of apologetics is completely naturalistic. It's a supernatural calling, which involves hard work. So as much as we might use tools and evidence and logic, again, our opponents are suppressing God's truth already in unrighteousness. And truth comes from God in what we might call two books. The book of creation, which is the cosmos, the laws of nature, it all testifies the hand that made us is divine. The general revelation isn't seen by all, it's known by all, but it's also rejected in unbelief. So again, we have to bring the other book of scripture, the book of Revelation, alongside the book of creation, so that we can explain them both together. And I'm not saying that people who opt for another model of apologetics are not doing that. I just believe the presuppositional approach rightly uses scripture on a higher level of authority than the things that are created.
Great. Let's see here. We have Kylie in Nesconset, Long Island. And Kylie asks, who would be, other than Dr. Bonson, some of the greatest representatives in your opinions of presuppositionalism and Vantillianism? He didn't say whether if you were going to be recommending living or not, but perhaps we'll start with Pastor Bill.
Yeah, that's a boy in Wisconsin. You're a next door neighbor. I'd love to meet Kylie at some point. Yeah, that's a good question, Kylie. I don't want to go back into the reformers. I'd make the case that John Calvin was that. because Dr. Van Til basically was saying that he was just reemphasized things that had been emphasized by men like Abraham Kuyper, who was a Dutch theologian, also Prime Minister Herman Bavinck. In the modern day, or more recent day, there's a lot of examples, actually. John C. Whitcomb, I think he's the late John C. Whitcomb, although he may still be alive, whose work was geology. He did the work on the Genesis flood and came from a very clearly presuppositional perspective. When you're dealing with a counseling, for example, the late Jay Adams and the so-called nouthetic counseling movement, that's an example of applied presuppositional apologetics and applying it and the sufficiency of Scripture to how you deal with the human condition, the human situation. Dr. Kevin Clawson is a professor of law, I believe, at Regent University, very clearly committed to presuppositionalism in how it applies to civil government. So I think for the questioner, it's not just commitment to presuppositional apologetics, of which there's many, but it's how that works itself out in practically speaking. Francis Schaeffer, we would regard him as kind of an inconsistent presuppositionalist, but Francis Schaeffer, in many ways, took presuppositionalism and popularized it by applying it to cultural issues. And I think that if you're looking for an introduction to so-called cultural apologetics, Francis Schaeffer's material, Oz Guinness's material, Bill Edgar's material, those would be very, very helpful for your listeners. Correct. Dr. Bonson was far more of the philosophy field. It's just that given that man's breadth of learning, he was able to apply it in many different areas, especially in ethics.
Anyone to add?
I can add a few names.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. First that came to my mind was Ken Ham with his Creation Ministries. I'll never forget the VHS tapes that I showed my children. It started with a cartoon about the antithesis and the importance of presuppositions. So Ken Ham would be another example, and his ministry is still impacting many today. The late Vodi Bakum, that we just lost to glory. He was a committed presuppositionalist.
Yeah.
James White, Jeff Durbin, over there at Apologia Church. They also promote the work of Dr. Bonson. And like him or not, Doug Wilson has been a presuppositionalist in his ministry. So there are a lot of names of people who wouldn't say, hey, look at my presuppositionalist ministry. But in their preaching and their teaching and their ministry and their outreach, clearly they're adhering to the Van Til model of engagement with the culture.
Great. We now have Ferguson in Maywood, New Jersey. Ferguson said, I have understood that one of the main influences of classic apologetics and those that would have the most problem with presuppositionalism are those that have been influenced heavily by Thomas Aquinas. Am I correct in this? And perhaps we'll start with Bill Shishko.
Perhaps start with Christian.
Well, the classical arguments for the existence of God that I just mentioned a few minutes ago do flow from Aquinas and his theology. So if those four arguments are, you know, the touchstone of our apologetic approach, then yes, the roots are definitely in Aquinas.
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly right. I think most people wouldn't think like that. They don't tend to think of Thomas Aquinas when they're thinking of a teleological argument. I think the other is this, kind of a simple illustration. For Thomas Aquinas, who was the systematic theologian of what we know of as the Roman Catholic Church, lived in the 13th century. In my opinion, and in the opinion of many others, a really deficient view of the fall of man, so that grace comes, as I usually put it, as kind of frosting on the top of the cake, whereas in my opinion, a biblical view, a reformed view, you're talking about a whole different cake. You're talking about something new that God does completely. And so when there is any kind of approach that basically sees the grace of God as an add-on or a completion to essentially pretty good thinking about the world, that's something that people wouldn't realize it, but that is kind of an outworking of what's called Thomism.
Mm-hmm. And let me also add, by way of illustration, what I've shared in Sunday school classes, think about apologetics as a ladder, and you're trying to get your friend or your neighbor to make his way up toward God and faith. The Aquinas arguments provide good rungs for that ladder. Think of like the first cause argument. Rung number one, everything has a cause. Okay, everybody's going to agree. Rung number two, the chain of causes cannot go on forever. Okay, everybody's up to level two now. But then the next rung, there must be a first uncaused cause, which is God, is not something that man can naturally apprehend. Right. It is faith. So there is no last rung. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit wrought in the heart and mind of our friend or neighbor who takes them from reason to faith.
Okay, we have Clark in New Canaan, Connecticut. And Clark asks, correct me if I'm wrong, but there seemed to be in years past during the rise of the Federal Vision Movement a disagreement amongst Christians who both claimed to be heirs of Bonson's theology. Some taught that if Bonson were alive today, they know for certain he would have embraced Roman Catholics as brethren. Others emphatically say, no, that is not at all in keeping with the teachings of Greg Bonson. Can either of you articulate what is the truth of this matter? And want to start with Bill this time?
Yeah, it's always dangerous to say somebody would have said such and such. Dr. Bonson went home to be with the Lord in 1995. He predated the Federal Vision issues, and I just don't think it's right to try to drag him into the camp of one of these or another. As far as the Roman Catholic view, there is in the library on the Bonson Institute, there are lectures that Dr. Bonson gives on Roman Catholicism, and I would think that the person would want to listen to those.
Anything to add, Christian?
Yes, I think there's a fundamental problem in linking that with the Federal Vision Movement. Dr. Bonson wasn't alive for that, and many of the first generation theonomists were alive for that and part of it. And they did err in taking Bonson's love for the law and somehow connecting it with the covenant of grace. Bonson's theonomy and love for the law had to do with the civic sphere and how the nations should be ruled by the law of Christ. It was his post-millennial hope. And to take that kind of obedience and that law word and to apply it in any way to the covenant of grace or to the Ordo Salutis was judged by all of our churches as erroneous and heresy. Who knows what he would say today, but I think we should rightly represent what he was teaching and why. And his views of the law were definitely applied to the civic realm, not the ecclesiastical.
It's been years since I heard Dr. Bonson's debate with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Roman Catholic apologist Jerry Matatux. But he did not give any impression to me during that debate that he was an ecumenist with Rome. Am I remembering correctly?
I don't remember that debate, but I think your conclusion, Chris, is exactly right. I mean, Dr. Bonson's was so adamant about emphasizing justification by faith alone and in Christ alone, by grace alone. I can't imagine. And that he would have embraced Roman Catholic theology as an ecumenist.
Oh, and he also subscribed to the Westminster Standards, and those standards forbid intermarriage with papists and infidels and heretics. So the man was a full subscriber to that confession, and I think we just have to trust that testimony.
Great. As a former Roman Catholic, that's music to my ears, because one of the things that grieves me most, being a Reformed Christian, is to see how many and to hear how many Reformed Christians are, for some reason, relegating the gospel to a secondary or tertiary level of importance that is eclipsed by the commonalities of belief in the Trinity that we have with Rome and Eastern Orthodoxy, as if that is all that matters in the long run. And to hear some of my Reformed brethren, who are brilliant men, some of them, speak as if those who are faithful to the Council of Trent are our brothers in Christ, has always grieved me deeply. But before we go to our final break, which is just about 7 minutes away, I would like for both of you just to be more detailed on what you want to emphasize with the Bonson Institute website, the relevant items on the website, and any other writings or recordings that you care to highlight. And if you want to start with Pastor Bill Shishko, and then we can go to Christian McShaffery.
Christian must dream the items that are going to be done in just a few hours on the the Bonson Institute public meeting, which will begin at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central Time. All you've got to do is go to Bonson Institute website and events, and as Christian mentioned, you'll come to that. I think Chris, what really just thrills me there, well, you'll get the specifics tonight, but the number of downloads of Dr. Bonson's material around the world, what is it, 183 or 185 recognized nations in the world, and the Bonson Institute, or the Dr. Bonson's material, has gone to over 170 of these. And I have a dear friend of mine, very familiar with the Reformed faith in Brazil and just the overall church situation in Brazil. And he's actually president of a seminary there. And he said the influence there is profound, not just about apologetics, but ethics and just opening up the Reformed standards to people. That thrills me. And you'll get a fuller report on that at the Bonson Institute public meeting, which again begins at 8 p.m. tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern time, but I'd like Christian to develop that more.
Sure, Bill. When it comes to our website, the biggest thing about it is the free audio library. So people just go there and download items for free. The numbers are staggering. 149 series done, 152, we're almost finished. And the downloads have been on various topics. I mean, we've talked about apologetics, presuppositionalism. We talked a little bit about theonomy and Christian ethics, but the top downloads also include the chronology of the end at 3,700, Matthew 24 and the Great Tribulation at over 3,000, and that's eschatology, which of course was one of Greg's greatest contributions to the church, eschatology of hope. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the top downloads is For Me to Live is Christ, mm-hmm. which is just pure devotion and love for the Lord. So people are benefiting in many different ways through a variety of topics. I appreciated, Chris, the encouragement you gave to join a church, to find a church. We have lectures on the Bonson website about that, how to choose a church, a course in church membership, how to leave a church. So he's also a churchman with a great ecclesiology. So the rich variety of topics can't be described here in a short while. I would say just visit our website and do some browsing. We have a search function. You'll find what you're looking for. And again, If you want to learn more, come tonight to our meeting. Just click the Zoom tab on the homepage, and we'd love to visit with you. If you're a younger kind of person, we have t-shirts and polos and hoodies, as the kids call them, some of the funner stuff. But for those who are serious, the lectures in our two newest books is what I would recommend. BahnsenInstitute.com.
And that's BahnSen Institute.com. And by the way, the thought just popped into my head. I would love to have you two back if you'd be agreeable. Perhaps even using the material by Dr. Bahnsen to address the theme, why should you join a church and why should you leave a church? Would you be acceptable to that?
Yeah, it would be great.
Great.
Sounds like a great idea.
Excellent. Yeah, very, very important topic today, Chris. I'm glad you're emphasizing that.
Amen. Well, we are going to our final break right now. And if you want to have your question asked and answered on the air, please submit it immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sensed that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Brian McLaughlin, the CEO of the SecureCom Group, for renewing his advertising sponsorship on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The SecureCom Group is the organization that sponsored the ad that you just heard. And also, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with Pastor Bill Shishko and Pastor Christian McShaffery discussing the life and legacy and value of the late Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen. And we have Pearl in Quogg, New York. And Pearl asks, let's see, where is that question? Oh, sorry for tuning in late. I had been recommended to read Always Ready by Greg Bahnsen, and I was wondering if you two can convince me why I should pick it up and begin reading it. I'm sorry if you've already addressed that book, but I'm tuning in late.
Glad to hear from another Long Islander from Quogg. Read the book. Two reasons. Number one, it'll help you obey the Word of God, where Peter says that we are to be always ready to give every reason, every person a reason for the hope that lies within us, yet with meekness and with reverence. So it'll help you in your obedience to the Word of God. The second is it will really help you to know how to engage unbelief, how to respond to questions, how to just develop your own mind to think about how you interact with unbelief. But I cannot commend the book Always Ready too highly.
Any additions to that, Christian?
Well, I hesitated because I was going to use the word second blessing, which we don't believe in. But those who commit themselves to learning Bahnsen's apologetic do experience something that we used to call becoming epistemologically self-aware for the very first time. It's where your brain finds a place of consistency of thought in harmony with the revealed will of God, and you learn how to think better.
Alrighty, well, I'd like each of you now to conclude with your own summary of what you think should be most etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, and we'll start with Pastor Bill Shishko.
Please look up the website Bahnsen Institute if you are able to join us in just a couple of hours, actually, for the public meeting. This is very important so that you hear what God has done through the Bahnsen Institute and some of our desires for the future. And then certainly go to the website, Bahnsen Institute, and avail yourself of material that used to be quite expensive to access, but material that is not only covers so many issues in the Christian life, but it's done with digitally remastered quality, excellent to listen to. You will not find a finer a teacher of the historic Christian faith and its application than Dr. Greg Bahnsen.
And Christian?
I guess I'd end on a more personal and practical note, just highlighting something that all of your listeners know. The world has no hope. And these are very dark days. And Christians not only should be able to give a reason for their hope, but they should also be seeking to increase their hope.
Yeah.
And though we didn't talk about it much during this broadcast, Dr. Bahnsen gave us an eschatology of hope, pointing us to the Great Commission, not only as something to be obeyed, go make disciples, but as a promise of success. Mm-hmm. Because all authority has been given to Christ in heaven and on earth, which enables us to go forth in obedience, but also with a hope-filled obedience, that better days are ahead because Christ is reigning from his throne. So if nothing else, I would encourage people to lift their hearts toward the promises of God, the hope of heaven, and then see if Dr. Bahnsen can help you see some of that in the present world as we continue to conquer.
Okay, we have time for one more question. We have Hargrove in East Setauket, Long Island. And Hargrove says, should we not put more emphasis than we normally do on the text that was just read earlier by Pastor Bill Shushko, 1 Peter 3:15, where we should do it with gentleness and respect in regard to us giving a defense for the truth?
All I can say to that is amen. That says it. Our Lord is gentle and lowly, and we don't serve the Lord's kingdom by coming out with guns blazing and by wielding swords other than the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But we represent Christ, who is gentle and lowly, and we always do that. We're willing to listen to those around us, but we also must be very bold and faithful in our responses.
Amen.
Any final thoughts on that, Christian?
Maybe just this. If you listen to Dr. Bahnsen, you will see exactly that. He not only equips us in terms of our mental faculties and the engagement of unbelief, but he provided a model of respectfulness and dignity in all of his teaching.
Yes.
Amen. And this could never be read too often by those of us engaged on theology in the public forum of the social media. Because unfortunately, those who are safe in the studies or basements of their own homes behind keyboards can have the sin of arrogance and pride and nastiness erupt probably more easily than the old days when we were talking to people face to face.
No.
So I think that we need to remember that. It has been a real delight to have both of you on the show. And as I said, I want to speak with both of you afterwards on arranging a date when we can talk about using Greg Bahnsen's material, why we should join a church and why we should leave a church. I think that would be an excellent program. And I would look forward to that. And once again, I want to give my listeners the contact information that you need to benefit from anything that we've been discussing today. First of all, once again, the Bahnsen Institute's website is bahnseninstitute.com, B-A-H-N-S-E-N, institute.com. And then we also have the website of my dear friend, Pastor Bill Shushko, who is pastor of The Haven, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. That website is thehavenli.com, thehavenli.com. And then, of course, my other guest, Christian McShaffrey, who is the pastor of Five Solas Church of Reedsburg, Wisconsin. They have a website, fivesolas.church, fivesolas.church, and the five is spelt out in the full word, F-I-V-E, fivesolas.church. Thank you so much. And I also want to give a final reminder to my listeners. Please, folks, if you can help us out financially, because as I said, we took a very hard hit losing two major financial supporters of this program. If you can help us out, please go to ironsharpenedsironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.